You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Coming up on today's show,
we debate the controversy around sideline reports and we assess how fair the criticism is.
Patty Mahomes wears the same underwear every game, and we end up in a rabbit hole about nasty NFL habits.
Eventually, we talk some football and share our favorite Thanksgiving dishes.
All of this and so much more on the ultra-hygienic, locker-room-friendly Mexico Thanksgiving episode of The Tomahawk Show.
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
Me? Play football?
Now, most of you have been playing this game for 10 years. You got two more quarters, and after that, most of you will never play this game again.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football. Football's fun.
Fun, sir.
Fun, sir.
It's fun. You sure?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the world-famous Tomahawk Show, brought to you by the good people at the DraftKings Network and Meadowlark Media. It is a special Thanksgiving edition of the Tomahawk Show. I am your humblest of co-hosts, joined by the best friends, gang, people I would have over for Thanksgiving any day of the week that there is in the world. I have my humblest of all co-hosts, Joe Thomas, Hall of Famer in the building. Joe, how are you doing today?
Doing fabulous. Celebrating Thanksgiving with the family down here in Mexico right now, and happy to be able to hang out with the Tama flock and my people with the Tomahawk Show a little bit before Thanksgiving. So we got the whole family together.
You look rich. Also joining us is ATL Shawty Juju Gotti in the building. And of course, Fat Nat. Juju, how you doing this week, man?
Pretty regular, my brother.
All right.
Not cool. Too awesome, not too bad.
All right. I love the transparency. Nat, how are things over on the West Coast?
Good. Everything's good. Unfortunately, not going to Mexico, but going up to the Bay literally right after this. So. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's not as rich, but still pretty rich. It's expensive in the Bay. Joe, why the hell are you in Mexico? Did you just guys this is just to get people behind the curtains a little bit. So Joe, like we said, he's a Hall of Famer. If I didn't say that, he's one of the best left tackles to ever play the game. And with that comes a lot of money that you make in that. And it's no secret. You can Google it. It's a whole bunch. And that allows you to do things like go to Mexico for Thanksgiving. So, Joe, how did this decision come about? Like, what goes into Thomas family discussions to end up in Mexico for a major holiday?
Yeah, that's exciting. I'm sure everybody's really thrilled to find out what went behind my decision to go
Absolutely.
To Mexico. So I'm going to Germany in January. Mm-hmm. We'll be living there from January through September, coaching the Munich Ravens football team. So we missed spring break. And like a lot of people probably do that, you know, are married, you try to split your time between each people's family during the holidays. And so for us in spring break, we kind of alternate going between my family and Annie's family. And this year was supposed to be my family's spring break, but since we're going to be out of the country and we won't be seeing them, we said, hey, why don't we go and take a Thanksgiving trip since it's starting to get cold and miserable in Wisconsin. And Mexico is always a great place to enjoy some amazing weather and some cheap tacos. So
yeah,
we're all on board. Everyone's having a lot of fun. We came down here right in the middle of the game on Sunday.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, you look Mexican.
Thank you.
Yeah, I could tell. I could see it in your, absolutely. I could see it in your lineage.
Like you are on the lamb right now.
I'm running. The real story is we're running from the government.
And, they're looking for me. So. Tell the real truth. You're down there cashing out some bank accounts. What part of Mexico are you in?
We're down in Puerto Vallarta. My wife's family, they've had a timeshare down here forever. So we've been down here a ton. We know the area and we love it.
How many times have you been to Mexico?
I would say probably 10. I actually started coming here with my wife, Annie, and her family when we were dating in college. Because like I said, her
rich for a long time,
place here for a long time. Yes. Yeah. And I've been married 15 years, so it's been a while.
Yeah, no, that's not too bad. I've been to Mexico a couple times. Favorite vacation spot that I've been to, this is more in the Caribbean, St. Lucia. Mm-hmm. I went there for Carnival. Are you guys familiar with Carnival?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but never been.
You talk about a party. I mean, I'm not a proponent of drinking, but I was hammered for quite a few days. Me and my wife went for our anniversary. The most fun I've ever had in my life. Like, I have never gone back because I'm like, nothing's going to top that 5 days. But by far, my best vacation. Juju, what is your best vacation that you've ever taken?
I ain't never been on vacation.
Juju, I should have known that was coming, man.
My jobs never required off time until I got this job.
What?
And so I've never been on vacation. Germany was the best thing I've ever went to. Mm. You feel me?
Oh, man. So there was no paid time off for hustling, huh? Damn.
Nah, bro. Especially not D-list hustlers like myself.
You was a bad one, too. Yeah,
no sick leave? You didn't have any like sick days? You could just pretend to call in and still get paid?
Being an entry-level like hustler is crazy.
I'm working on that one. We got lines outside the trap house right now. We demand more rights.
I tell you, we should take a Tomahawk vacation to Germany. Come visit me in Bavaria. It'd be amazing. I'd love to show you guys around.
That would be super dope.
Sold.
I'm all in there, but I can't stop laughing about Juju, you know, being working in the mailroom at the trap house, being an entry level intern, hustling is a crazy concept.
You got to start somewhere with every job. Hey, right?
You got to work your way up. Nat, what's your best vacation of all time?
Wow, best vacation. I do love Mexico. I love Cancun, but I'm biased and I have been to Armenia like 7 times and it's my favorite.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
You're Armenian. We'll get into that because it is Thanksgiving. And I want to hear about all the Armenian traditions. All right. For everybody who is just tuning in, you can find us on all of our social media handles at Tomahawk Show. Make sure you hit up Lebatard Show on YouTube for the video version of the pod. We are also on the DraftKings Network on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Find us anywhere you find your podcast. Subscribe, like, rate 5 stars, all of that housekeeping jazz. Let's get into some Tama headlines to start the show off. Number one, I'm going to call an audible here just because I'm looking at Joe, and he looks like he is sideline reporting from Mexico. So,
Joe Thomas reporting here from the sidelines of Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. I got the ocean behind me. It's questionable to come back in the afternoon because Joe drank a lot of margaritas this morning.
Yes.
And there might not be any water left or any salt either.
So, on that point, it was a big deal. Clarissa Thompson, who is a mainstay in sports media, she hosts on Fox, she hosts Thursday Night Football. I've done her show. She is an amazing talent. She went on Part of My Take and she made the admission that she would just make up sideline reports. And when she couldn't get to a coach, she would just be like, you know, to hell with it. I'm sure I could just say they need to run the football more and no one's going to bat an eye. They're not going to call her out on it. No one was really going to care. And so she's made that admission before on a podcast with Aaron Andrews, but it caught fire this week. And every sideline reporter that I had ever heard of and seen, and even most of the ones that I've never heard of, they were pissed, Joe. So I have a take on this. I don't know if it's the right take, but I want to go to, you know, the smarter one of the duo and say, Joe, what is your take on Clarissa Thompson? Do you think this is a big deal?
Well, only because I look like a sideline reporter right now, being that I'm holding my mic and I have nowhere else to put it. I think it's probably a big deal, to be totally honest, because basically by admitting that you make up the stuff on the sidelines, it proves that the stuff that's reported from the sideline is worthless, that anybody can just make it up and you're not really adding any depth to the broadcast. And so I think that's why everyone else was pissed, is because they're like, hey, you're ruining our ruse. Like, we know that we're not saying anything and the coaches aren't giving us any information. And outside of like the rare instance where there's some type of injury where a sideline reporter knows somebody that's in the training staff or the coaching staff, that they can get like a little tidbit about, yeah, you know, Aaron Rodgers hurt his Achilles, he's out forever. Or, you know, hey, it wasn't as bad as you guys thought, he should probably come back in the second half. Outside of that, like, they're not telling you anything from the sideline other than what you're already listening to from the broadcast booth and seeing with your own eyes. So she's kind of like, in a roundabout way, eliminating the jobs for herself and for all of her brethren.
Yeah, and that's why I think reporters were so upset with it. Juju, did you have what was your opinion on everything that transpired?
Bruh, I think it's bad.
Be honest.
I think it's only bad because she telling on herself, like, when keeping it real goes wrong, bro. You got yes. away with it. You did it. You the host now on Thursday Night Football. Why are you doing this to yourself, ma'am? Because I think it's more of a revealing, excuse me, on the coaches who make themselves not available, because they pay money to make these coaches available at these times. And if y'all giving her your ass to kiss, well, shoot, they was trash in the first half. Back to you, Bob. So I don't necessarily hold her to the fire. I just think it's a questionable move to snitch on yourself, man. Setting and the blonde women across the world, like, we don't need no more setbacks for the most persecuted people in the world. Come on, yes. now, we don't do that.
Preach.
Blonde women are the most persecuted people in the world.
Oh, I agree.
Don't quote me that. Don't clip that.
Man, we need to clip that, put that out there, and so he can get the same treatment Clarissa Thompson got on social media. I'll say this: I think there's a couple of points. I think it was bullshit that, because Clarissa came out and said that now everyone was had this take that it was an indictment on all sideline reporters, right? I think that's unfair. Anytime somebody does one thing and then you make the generalization that now she's setting all sideline reporters or women in media back, like, that means that you're not valuing that in the first place, which, again, I think is bullshit. Now, that being said, do I care about sideline reports? I'm going to be honest. I got to be honest on this show. When I watch a game, there's never a time where I'm like, damn, I am so happy I got that information from sideline. And I try to break that down. Well, why is that? Why is it that Clarissa feels like,
bruh, this is like Clarissa Thompson. Who asked you this question? Why are you volunteering this information to Earth at all? Brother, wash your damn drawers, man. What the hell is wrong with you? This ain't no endearing fact that you revealing about yourself. This don't make people want to get closer to you at all. I want to kind of stay away a little bit more. And me personally, I absolutely do not have something that I wear all the time, no matter what I'm at, that's on my head. I do not have those rituals at all. I can't understand what he's talking about.
You don't get it. He said that because now I feel really good about their second half. And again, that is not an indictment on the profession of anybody that is putting so much time in it. I know that is a hard job, and it is really, for the reasons I'm saying, it's hard to get a coach to be transparent in those moments. I'm just saying, for me, it didn't feel like as big of a deal because I myself, maybe I'm too close to it, and that information always felt cliche to me. The last thing I will say, and Joe, feel free to chime in here. Part of my take is a dangerous platform. Podcasting is a dangerous platform. You think about all the people that are getting in trouble in because these environments get real lax. And in this world of jobs and bosses and being a professional, when you see other people succeed by just doing whatever, sometimes that's intoxicating and you fall into that trap. And that is absolutely a cautionary tale for everyone that gets on our show or anybody else's show. Please don't lose your goddamn job. There is no interviewer clip that's worth that. And I would love the information. I'm happy that you share that. And please, if anybody else has made up reports, come to the Tomahawk Show. Tell us right here. We could use the reach on social media. But I will say, Joe, please be a little smarter out there.
Yeah, I feel like Clarissa should get some points for being honest. And yeah. I think anytime you're going to be honest to the public, to people you don't know about, or that you don't know, that's a good thing. Like, mm-hmm. you should give her points as a human being. However, snitching on yourself is always tough. And you got to be real careful with those podcasts. I had a buddy that went on the Joe Rogan show, and he mentioned, like, before they sat down and did the show, Joe was like, hey, would you like some tequila? We got all these top shelf bottles of tequila. Would you like some vodka? Oh, we got a beer, whatever you want. Just let me know. We'll handle whatever needs you need. Oh, would you like a joint? We've got drugs over here. Would you like anything on earth to get you to say and open up to whatever you feel like, to make you feel comfortable so that we can get some good stuff and we can get some good conversations. And the Pardon My Take guys, Big Cat, PFT, they do a great job of making you feel comfortable. Hawk, you and I have been on the show.
Yeah.
And they do an awesome job because they get you relaxed, they get you laughing. And anytime people are laughing, they get comfortable, they let their guards down, and they want to open up and share their experiences. So I give her credit, but it might hurt the profession in the long run, because the only thing I can really think about from a sideline perspective is it's nice getting that camera perspective from the sideline, just to get you away from always looking down from, like, the bird's eye view. But other than that, like, the words that are coming out of their mouths are just cliches that are repeated from the coach, really. And it doesn't elevate the broadcast much as far as, like, the dialogue that they're having.
There's a sketch here, and I got to figure it out, but there's a version of, like, real-life sideline. Like, if the sideline reports were really – how do you make those where people actually want to hear them? And it's like, yeah, I'm down here on the sideline, and the head coach for the New Orleans Saints said – if he caught the opposing head coach in a dark alley, he would fuck him up. Back to you, Joe. Like, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear the real thing. Like, give me that authenticity.
Like whenever Nick Saban was like, it ain't happening, so quit asking.
Yeah, that was the best sideline
report. I like that one. That was a good report. I think that was Holly Rowe, whoever. Salute.
That has been the best sideline report of the last 10 years because he actually said what he felt. And how do we get to that level of authenticity? That is where the profession goes. So maybe this is going to be a net positive.
Maybe it evolves the role of sideline reporter where they get away from the cliche repeating of what the coach said. And now they like start getting after him a little bit, you know, and be like, hey, Nick Saban, I'm not sure if you heard, but Brett Bielema on the other sideline just called you a weenie. And what you said your defense is soft.
And it's an involved trivia for the home audience. Hey, did Nick Saban tell me to buzz off, or they need to go for it on third and down more, or whatever?
Yeah, I feel like we're going somewhere here. This is a great brainstorming session.
I agree. We're going to fix broadcasting. This is going to be amazing. All right. Before we jump to our next segment, there was some news that came out. What kind of news? It was disgusting news, but it was news nonetheless. Mm. Patrick Mahomes said he wears the same underwear for every game.
Oh my God.
He got it from his wife. I think he said they were red. A lot of detail I'm giving out here, more than I wish I had. And he said when they win, sometimes he doesn't wash them. So that made me ask the question, do you guys have any rituals or superstitions or like special items that you wear in certain occasions? And Nat, I'm going to start with you.
Honestly, no, I'm not a very superstitious person, but okay. I will say, like, this is disgusting,
okay. Nasty,
musty, crusty, like, gross. I can't believe he does that. It's actually disgusting. Just thinking about, like, how much you're sweating within, like, the first 5 minutes of probably putting on your uniform.
Yeah,
that is disgusting. Hot. But no, I don't have rituals like that, to be honest. I mean, when I was like playing basketball in high school, I would eat one banana and take a 30-minute nap right before every single game. Okay. So that was like a ritual, but that nothing sounds like went like with what I wear or anything like that.
That sounds like more like being lazy than a ritual. Football is disgusting though. That is a very good point. But you know, where that ranks on the disgustingness is probably very low. Joe can attest that. Juju, what is your take on Patrick Mahomes not changing his drawers?
Bruh, this is like Carissa Thompson. Who asked you this question? Why are you volunteering this information to Earth at all? Brother, wash your damn drawers, man. What the hell is wrong with you? This ain't no endearing fact that you revealing about yourself. This don't make people want to get closer to you at all. I want to kind of stay away a little bit more. And me personally, I absolutely do not have something that I wear all the time, no matter what I'm at, that's on my head. I do not have those rituals at all. I can't understand what he's talking about.
Mahomes not changing his underwear on a week-to-week basis just for game day, lucky draws, is like very low on the disgustingness totem pole in my experience. Joe, did you have anything special that you would wear every week?
My underwear?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I wear the same like compression shorts, but I wash them because they just fit the best. And on game day, for most guys that I knew that we're in the NFL, like you wore the same socks, you wore the same pair of gloves, because once you find something that works perfectly, then it's something that you don't have to worry about. Like, I was so particular that if any tiny little thing was wrong with my kit, it felt like there was a rock in the bottom of my shoe. Yeah. And I just couldn't think about anything else. I couldn't focus on my job. And that's why I think athletes, like to Nat's point, you get into a routine. It's not that you're superstitious, but you know the routine gets you set up so that you can just focus on the game and not all the other stuff, getting ready to prepare for the game. And so that's why you stick with your routine. And I still don't understand why he don't wash his damn drawers, though.
Yeah.
Like, there is nothing positive about not washing them.
Your key word was you washed your compression shorts.
Like, that's right.
It's fine as long as you wash it.
At the same time, there are still disgusting things that happen, even beyond that, because it is nasty. You are sweaty immediately. Like before you even go to the field, you start sweating. But let me tell you some of the disgusting things that happen in a game that just seem normal to us. Guys just pee on themselves. Like that is I don't know if people realize that, but in the NFL, guys, when you have to pee, it's not like, hey, coach, I'd like to take a potty break. It's No, guys literally just pee on themselves during the course of a game and continue
how
to play.
How often does that
every
really happen?
Every game, probably of the, we'll call it, 70 players that play in that game, at least 25 pee on themselves during the course of that game.
There's no way.
Facts. Joe.
It's got to be the same 25 then, Hawk. Because I feel like you're either a pee on yourself guy or you're not.
Like, exactly.
There's definitely two types of
people in the NFL.
No question. I am not a pee on myself guy. I am a get me a bottle, put the towels up around me so the fans can't see my junk. Let me do my business on the sideline. I'm not going to pee on myself. I'm too disgusted. Everybody else does not care. Another thing that's disgusting, they pee in the hot tub. The communal hot
that
tub.
That is disgusting.
What? They pee in the hot tub.
Can we name some names? Can you name one pee on yourself man from the league so I can judge him for the rest of my life?
Let me think. Who can I name? I don't know. I don't think it's my job to out anybody as a pee on yourself guy, but maybe we put a poll out. If you know NFL people or NFL friends or players, ask them if they pee on themselves during the game, because you got to realize, if you drank a bottle of water right now, Juju, what happens?
I'm going to be replenished. I'm going to be hydrated. Yes. My skin going to glow.
Okay.
I'm gonna
and then after about
a longer life.
45 minutes, what's going? Where do you got to go? You got to go to the bathroom, right?
Man, I don't know. God has blessed me, luckily, with a bladder that has succumbed. Like it hasn't been through too much, so
okay.
I'm still going to be cool after 45.
But in the NFL, you drink, on average, probably 2 to 3 gallons in a very short amount of time. We are drinking water constantly and Gatorades and just literally pumping yourselves with fluids. Guys gotta go. And if you are the kind of guy that is like, yo, I'm not going all the way to the bathroom, or I'm not gonna pee on a cup on the sideline because we're out. If I gotta pee, the last thing you wanna be doing is thinking I have to pee in the middle of a football game. It's the worst thing you could possibly be thinking. If your mind is on the fact that you gotta pee, so a lot of guys, I am telling you right here on the Tomahawk Show, if you don't know, they piss on themselves. Every damn
That's,
Sunday.
Wow, work. White pants, white tights, be damned. They don't, brother, what's the blue tent for if not for that? Put a porta potty under the tent and flip it over. Go ahead, CD Lamb. Relieve yourself.
There's so many disgusting
Hawk is taking Juju's advice right now, and he's not outing himself when really what he's trying to say is, I was the guy that peed on myself in every game, but now he can't do it anymore because he ain't snitching on himself today anymore.
Thank you, Carissa Thompson, for the lesson that I've just learned. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into some NFL news here on the Tomahawk Show.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
All right, welcome back to the Tomahawk Show. In the break, we got into a discussion about peeing in the hot tub, and it got a little heated, and we're like, well, who was doing it? And I'm like, yo, there was a couple of big white linemen that were peeing, and Joe said that might be a white guy thing sometimes, that they like to live on the edge. And I don't think it's a color thing, but there are certain things that in the locker room you know that black players do versus white players do. And one of the biggest divisions, and you hear this from any player, is washcloths. Black players use wash rags to take showers, whereas the majority of the white guys just use their hand. And I don't understand it, Joe. Maybe, you know, you seem like a white guy.
Thank you. Although you said that I am trying to turn into a Mexican being down here earlier, yes. So maybe I'm in between.
Yeah, your camera went completely shit for a second, but I think it's back. So yeah, white guys use just a bar of soap. How does that work, Joe? Explain to us.
So I like this show, and it's always been a great fun space for me because we dive into the cultural differences between black guys and white guys. Mm-hmm. And really that's all we can talk about other than the Armenian on here, which is, I don't know how she could throw into this discussion because I know that women are not nearly as nasty as male athletes. However, there is definitely a cultural divide over the washcloth issue for some reason, especially white dudes that come right out of college and linemen. Yeah. I'm sorry. We are fat and disgusting and nasty. And I see so many white guys that go into the shower with nothing but soap, which makes no sense to me. I have no idea how you can wash your body without a loofah, without a washcloth, without some type of accoutrement or tool to be able to get in there and to get all the dead skin and the stink off yourself. And for some reason in the black experience in America, they adopted washcloths as part of the shower everyday scene. Mm. And the white guys never did. And maybe somebody could lean into this and explain the root of this evil, because I try to educate all the white dudes that I see going into the showers when I was playing that you need a washcloth to wash your ass. Otherwise, it just doesn't work.
I agree, man. How do you get all the dirt? Tell me. I don't understand it. Maybe my hands are, maybe they got rough hands from lifting weights, and maybe there's a scrub to it that if you do it the right way. I've seen people like wash with an actual bar. And if you wonder, how do you see somebody take a shower, Hawk? Well, it's because we all shower together. It's bullshit. It's my biggest pet peeve of professional football is that we have these billion-dollar stadiums and facilities, and yet when they say, okay, we're going to have every locker is going to have a PlayStation, and everyone will have their own personal trainer, and the meals will be plenty. And then when they get to the shower, they say, we'll put them all in the same one. No cover up. Just they'll be all right. Just put 50 shower heads a centimeter apart. We've had games.
They probably don't care because you walk around peeing on yourself. They're like, give them a shower.
Listen, there was a report this week about, I think it was the Commanders stadium that ran out of hot water, and it was a big deal. There was no hot water. I can't tell you how many damn games that we've played in the league where there was no hot water.
What?
It happens all the time. There's been times when there's been no water, period. We get back to the locker room, and they have clipped the water. There's nothing to take a shower. Or in a visitor locker room in the NFL, there, I forget what stadium. Maybe it was Oakland Stadium.
Yep.
But there was
Oakland for sure. Buffalo was horrible.
There's like 15 shower heads. So what 15 shower heads mean for 80 people taking a shower and we have 10 minutes to do it, we literally, this sounds crazy, we had to share showers at the same time.
Oh, no.
So
no,
what happens is, it sounds wild. This is like going to be a viral moment, but I'm telling you how it works. This is no bullshit. Joe can attest to this. There's one shower going. I stand on one side. Joe stands on the other. And as we're lathering away, one person gets in, they get out, the other person does, and you literally have to share the shower head at the same time. Joe, am I lying?
No, you're absolutely telling the truth. It was disgusting. It was one of those moments where you're like, this is what pro sports looks like?
It's
like, this is how I wash my children. I put, when they're little, you turn the shower on, you get one rinsed, and then you get them soaped up as the other one's rinsing. But in Oakland, it's legit. Or in the old stadium, now nobody plays there anymore. I guess the baseball team's leaving now too, because apparently they hate the shower
situation. They hate sharing showers.
Well. The problem was also because they had this tiny little shower area. They had two shitters, and then half the shower area had to get taken up by the trainer's equipment because the training room was so small in there. They had nowhere to put all their big boxes of like medical supplies and tape and everything. So half the shower was already taken with training equipment. And the other half was like five showers, which half of them weren't even hot.
Right.
And so it was nightmare situation to the point where when we would play there in preseason, there'd be plenty of guys that wouldn't even shower after games because there was no good options and they didn't want to get packed in there like sardines and have to do the switch soap rinse routine. And so they just didn't do it. But I think maybe the worst situation was the old Meadowlands situation stadium in New York, because they probably had, you know, 20 shower heads, but of the 20, there was only like four that worked. And we played there in the preseason once. And so I think there was only four showers for at that point, which was over 100 people.
Yep.
And on top of that, some places you have to shower with your coaches because the coaching staff doesn't have a separate showers. And unfortunately, some offensive line coaches out there don't take great care of themselves and can get large and obese. Mm. And so to be lathering up and playing the ring around the rosy rinse shower repeat game with your buddies under one shower head, and all of a sudden your 500-pound coach rolls in next to you and is like, "Hey, Joe, great job on that double team you had. We really ran the ball well today." And you're like, "Coach, this is the last thing I want to do right now is talk about the game as I'm standing next to you and rinsing and lathering with my buddy."
Juju.
This is sound like a HIPAA violation. Y'all need to take this to the top, to President Joe Biden right now. Y'all brothers need to speak out at some kind of way, find courage and be emboldened and just band together and get these stories out. Because I believe they owe y'all money for stress, just bad, PTSD. Bad business. Oh, my goodness.
Terrible.
I'm so sorry y'all brothers had to go through that.
We appreciate that, Juju, because it gets ugly. It gets ugly behind those scenes. So they're complaining about no hot water. What are we talking about? You don't even know the half. Other things that I found out that is not a white experience. White guys, do you guys FaceTime, Joe?
Not like you black guys do.
Man.
We would much rather text or just call somebody on the phone than just constantly FaceTime.
So there's certain things.
Which I didn't learn a whole lot about till college, which we didn't really have FaceTime, but at the time it was speakerphone. You guys like to talk on speakerphone to each other.
All day on speaker. I will all not day. Hold the phone in my ear. My shoulders won't allow it. Now, I didn't know. I'm not a FaceTime guy. So this is like my white side. And I do have a white side because I grew up in a black community but went to a predominantly white high school. And so I you pick up certain things. I'm not a FaceTime person. I think it's extremely intrusive when someone FaceTimes me without an appointment that we didn't set up.
I'm like, what? I'm like, why do you want to see where I am right now?
What the hell do you think this is?
Way too intrusive. That's none of your business.
It's like just walking in my front door. That's how I view it. Like, you just opened my front door and was like, "Hawk, what's up, man? How you doing?" So I get really upset. But you're right. All of my black friends and family, they FaceTime. They they don't call, they don't text, they FaceTime. And I didn't realize until recently that was a cultural difference of I need you to see me and I want to see exactly what you're doing. I remember the first player that started FaceTiming me, Shane. Shane went to Indiana. Shane Wynn, I believe. Yeah, Shane Wynn. He's from Cleveland. That's my boy.
Best friends. What's his name? Shane? What? I love that guy. He's my best buddy. Hey, we go way back.
We'll cut that part out there. I play football, okay? I'm going to blame that on the concussions. Right. So Shane Wynn, we signed him as an undrafted, and I'm like, I just met him. Hey, man, I'm going to, help all the young guys out. He started FaceTiming me, when he would call it. I'm like, I played it cool, but I remember thinking, why the hell is this dude continuing to FaceTime me? But I was old, and I didn't know that was a young person thing, that's how they communicate is through FaceTime. But that is absolutely a cultural division thing.
Bro, I don't know, bro. I got a lot of friends of the black persuasion, and nobody don't FaceTime me. Maybe I'm out of the age loop or what, but you FaceTime me, you are instantly on my shit list. Like, I damn near might not answer your phone call no more. Like, how dare you FaceTime me? That's so rude. Like, I'm a texter. Like, I don't even, no, I'm not a texter, I'm a caller. I would rather call you and get this 6 to 7 seconds of 20-minute text messages in my tone. You can hear how I'm saying it. You're not going to take it offensive if you think I meant it this way. Nah, bro, I'm going to call you and tell you what I got to say. And I'm never FaceTiming you ever. There's nobody on earth I want to FaceTime. Nobody.
Nobody on earth. Wow. FaceTime is crazy. That's
going a long way.
That's taking
how about this, Hawk? Here's an interesting maybe story. I was in the locker room with one of our quarterbacks once, and I had a few black quarterbacks. And just to prove the point, we were in the shower because it was after practice, after meetings. And it was just the two of us. But it got really uncomfortable. And it wasn't because of anything he did to me, but he was FaceTiming with his wife as we were going into the shower. All both of us. And like HIPAA. You said, Doc, it's prison shower systems here. There's not separate showers. And he continued FaceTiming while they were showering. And it wasn't a sexual thing or anything. They were talking. And he used the soap tray to put the phone down. So it was up as he continued to FaceTime. But I thought, man, I feel like that is over the line. If you can do that at home and you want to FaceTime, but I mean, I'm in here, and I don't think your wife wants to see a big fat offensive lineman naked, even though I am one of the white guys that uses a washcloth and does wash himself properly. This is still not for her eyes to see, and she does not want to get suffered that type of torture.
You know what? We're definitely throwing that into whatever class action lawsuit Juju's going to get us a part of. Who was it, Joe? Name him. Exactly. Since we dropped the names.
Name some names after dark.
No. Name them. I bet I know who it is. If I guess, will you tell me who it was?
I will not say anything else. I'm going to turn my screen off because you'll guess it in one guess.
I know the coach you said. I feel like I have an idea of the coach you were talking about because he became really popular online at one point.
I'm not saying anymore. I don't name names. Yeah, I'm not snitching on myself nor anybody else, dude.
Tom Flock, if we get this on the RSS feed and you hear this, we need you to tweet us. Who do you think the coach was that Joe was showering with? And also, who do you think the player Joe FaceTimed hit their wife with together? That is not how the story was told, just for clarity. But if you want to clip that and make it seem like it was, I'm okay with it for the engagement. We've talked about that today. But I can almost guarantee I can guess who this player is. And I almost feel like they won't care if we name them. I'm going to double check. I'm going to reach out to them. And I'm going to see if he is okay with us blaming him with what we just talked about. And then on that same note, Joe.
You just guessed it, by the way. You just described the person perfectly without saying their name.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're actually going to get into NFL news when we come back, but we are having a ton of fun here on the Tomahawk Show, brought to you by the DraftKings Network and Metal Arc Media. All right, welcome back to the Tomahawk Show. We've been talking a lot of locker room and just general player culture stuff here on today's episode. And I did spark a memory of mine that I have in my phone. There was one time Josh Gordon was locked out of his Facebook account and he couldn't get into it. And I had to take a picture with him holding a sign saying that he was Josh Gordon to my connect over at Meta. Shout out to my guy over at Meta with the connect. So in the locker room, I take this picture with Josh Gordon that he signs and he's in front of, like, so he can get his account back. And Joe is in, like, the distant background with his ass out. I sent it to Meta, not realizing it. And, you know, I'm going to try to see if that picture is still on my phone because we're going to put it on our social media accounts.
HIPAA violation. Joe,
I'll sign off on that. You can see my fat ass.
Okay.
It's not anything that's being right. Protected for potential gain in the future. So.
We'll blur it out. We'll blur it out on social media, but it will go viral. And again, we're getting all the engagement. Tomahawk Show is going to blow up this week if we actually follow through with any of this. All right, we're going to get into
especially, especially if you word it, I sent a picture of Josh Gordon to my connect. I was like, wow.
Absolutely. That was Juju's in the mailroom. He got that. He's the one who got that message. All right, we're going to do a quick version of Am I Tripping? Nat will read us a statement, and we will tell her if she is indeed tripping. And also, I want everyone to know, all of these are written directly by Fat Nat herself. So if anything ever comes back on us, we can blame Natalie Least. All right, Nat, give us the first one.
Okay, so the Browns beat the Steelers 13-10 in an ugly defensive AFC North showdown. Their defense, led by Myles Garrett, can play with anybody. Without the injured Deshaun Watson, am I tripping or are the Browns going to the Super Bowl? No, I'm just kidding. But are the Browns going to be legit contenders in the AFC?
Yeah, I like it. Joe, I believe this is for you, my brother.
Yeah, you're not tripping. By the way, that was not ugly. That was a beautiful game. The Browns have the number one defense in the NFL, and being in a defensive slugfest is exactly the type of game we want right now since Deshaun Watson's out for the season. That's what we needed. We gave Dorian Thompson-Robinson the opportunity to be the hero, take his team down the field at the end of the game, kick the game-winning field goal, and we're probably going to sign Joe Flacco like yesterday. So he'll be the quarterback for the Browns probably the rest of the week because my sources with the Browns have told me he worked out for him last week, and he looked really, 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 there was three reallys in my text, good. So loved DTR. He did awesome. I think he made an enormous improvement from where we saw him earlier in the year, but they're going to bring in Joe Flacco and win the Super Bowl for Joe Flacco, who will be a Hall of Fame quarterback after he wins two Super Bowls with two different franchises. Tell me how he doesn't get into the Hall of Fame, Hawk. Go.
He definitely gets into the Hall of Fame. If he takes the Browns to the Super Bowl and they win, my man is a shoo-in, and I will be the one leading that trade. I also love how Joe references sources in a sideline report that was completely made up.
I actually have the text for this one.
It fits perfectly on theme for today's episode. I do think that with Joe Flacco, the Browns are back being a legit contender. DTR stepped in, he did well, but he didn't throw a single pass past 5 yards, it felt like, entire game. Like, it was literally flat routes, and anytime they tried to force him, he wouldn't do it until the very last second when they had to, and they came away with the W. Myles Garrett should be in contention for NFL MVP, and I mean that honestly because he is that dominant. Fat, what's next?
All right, next. The Commanders, the Chargers, and the Panthers all took another loss this weekend. Am I tripping, or should Ron Rivera, Brandon Staley, or Frank Reich start refreshing their resumes in case they get fired?
Yeah, they should all update their LinkedIn pages. It's time. And I don't know if any of those I feel bad about. It would be Frank Reich because he has a rookie quarterback, and I just think they don't have nearly enough pieces around him to see what he actually is. But then with the success of C.J. Stroud, it's like, well, you could have. It seems like you'd be in a better spot if you went that way. There's still time, though.
But he wasn't the one that drafted Bryce Young. He shouldn't get blamed for it. By all accounts, he was the one that wanted C.J. Stroud. And they were a terrible team. That's why they're drafting at the top of the draft anyway. I know they traded into that spot, but they were just a few spots behind. So for him to get fired, I would think it'd be a travesty. Yeah. I think he's a great coach. I think you have to give him an opportunity. And the fact that they drafted Bryce Young is more on the owner and the GM than it is on the head coach. So you can't fire him because C.J. Young was a better quarterback, because that was his guy he liked in the first place. Yeah, but other guys are toast.
But if they think that Bryce Young is good still, and they're just like, oh, you're not getting out of him what they're getting out of C.J. Stroud, because it's the coaching. And young
talk
owner.
About doubly screwed. Not only do they not draft the guy that he wants, then when the guy that they want comes in the very first year, they fire him for not getting the most out of the guy that they wanted, who maybe is not as good as the guy that he wanted, which we're seeming to see that this season.
And Joe is perfectly describing why NFL coaches' contracts are guaranteed, because this is why they lobby for the buyout, Juju.
Yeah. Again, look, Frank Wright, I got compassion in my heart for that brother. Like, get well soon. I hope the Carolina Panthers give you an opportunity to redeem yourself in the future. But Ron Rivera, Brandon Staley, do not let the doorknob hit you where the good Lord split you, because it is time. There is nothing happening in those two organizations other than failures right now. You should not lose that game to the Giants yesterday, and you should not lose to Jordan Love and them boys. Back to you, Hawk.
All right. What we got next, Nat? Last one.
Okay, so a pregame report from Jay Glazer said that Aaron Rodgers sent the Jets a video of himself working out, and it blew their minds. Glazer also said that Rodgers wants to start practicing with the Jets as early as December 2nd, and if they stay in playoff contention, actually play by mid-December. Mm. Am I tripping, or does Aaron Rodgers want to see Hawk running around in a thong on South Beach?
Mm. Yeah, Juju remembers this promise that if I said it, if Aaron Rodgers came back this year, I would run around in a thong on South Beach. And that was right after the Achilles injury. So now I am absolutely going to reverse course and say that I don't think he ever tore his Achilles. Now, if he comes back, I need to see actual medical reports. I need to see actual MRI scans to prove that he actually had the injury that he was touting. And this is not some elaborate hoax just to say I'm throwing it in the face of science and Hawk, Joe.
So now Hawk is asking for further proof, which is definitely not going to happen. So he knows that he's not going to have to run around on a thong on South Beach, because there's no way Hawk is going to get that MRI. And it does seem like HIPAA. Aaron Rodgers is going to come back. However, this report is filed under the made-up reports with Carissa Thompson, because the beginning part is like anything that anybody could say. Oh, yeah, he texted a video of himself to the ownership group, and they were very impressed. They were blown away. He said nothing. But the concreteness of that report, though, at the end, where he's going to practice potentially by December 2nd, when you start giving that level of detail, you start wondering, okay, maybe there is something there.
Yeah, it's because there's deadlines. I will say, if I can afford to go to the private island that Joe is on right now, I would run around there in a thong, because there's nobody there. Because Joe has rented out that entire island by himself because he is that rich.
Why do you end up in a thong in all these scenarios?
Yeah,
I don't want
really
to do it.
To get in a thong. You know, like that friend of ours that always like dares or like Beth's like, if this doesn't happen, I'll run around the house naked, or I'll like jump in the lake naked. Like the guy that really wants to be naked, and so he's trying to find any reason to get naked, but then have that plausible excuse like, well, I lost the bet, it was the bet. So I had to do it. You know?
I got to do what I'm told. Right.
Fat Nat, drink a case of beer. I lost the bet.
Fat Nat, can we get a matching background to Joe, please? I'm his background looks fake, and I just want to prove to the people at home that, see, anybody could do that. They're not special, Joe. There's nothing.
Aloha.
I would run around on that beach.
Puerto Vallarta.
There you go. Now Fat Nat is in Puerto Vallarta. When we come back on a quick break, we're going to talk Thanksgiving, and there's a very good likelihood that Juju will also be in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. All right. Ooh. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Tomahawk Show. And just like that, Juju is now in Puerto Vallarta. Everybody is taking vacations for Thanksgiving week to celebrate with family, or at least the very rich versions of their family that can afford to go to Mexico during the three-day break they get from work. But that's a whole other topic. What we want to do now is we want to do one of our world-famous Tomahawk drafts. And what we're going to be drafting is Thanksgiving food. And the reason why I love the Thanksgiving food draft, which seems like a tradition like no other here at the Tomahawk Show, is because you get a glimpse into everybody else's cultures and what they think is important. If a fire alarm goes off in the background, don't worry about that. We're going to continue to keep going. So we're going to do a Tomahawk draft. Three rounds. Everybody gets to pick. We'll let Nat go first. Second pick will be Juju, third pick Joe. I'll go last in the draft because I always win them, and we'll go from there. So
you don't always win these drafts. Movie draft Halloween, I beg to differ.
Oh, man. We never put it on social media. Well, we're going to put the results.
It died in that room. Nobody ever heard it.
We're going to put the results on social media, and that's going to go viral. It's like our 15th viral moment of this show. Today. So as you would imagine, this show is going to be huge for the lift of the Tomahawk Show. All right, with the first overall draft pick of the 2023 Thanksgiving Tomahawk Draft, Nat, you are drafting foods. What is your number one Thanksgiving food pick?
Okay, I don't know if this is a hot take, but mashed potatoes. And I don't know if it's just because my dad makes really, really, really good mashed potatoes. And like, that's the thing. I go for like seconds and thirds every year. So that's my number one pick.
Ooh. Man, we got laughs. We got snickers from.
I know. I feel like that was a terrible take. I feel like you're judging me.
Juju.
I love you. That was a terrible pick.
You just haven't had good mashed potatoes then. I'm telling you, a good mashed potato is elite. I'm with you, Nat. I think the mashed potato is definitely in my top three.
Yeah, it would.
Without it, it doesn't mean that it's Thanksgiving, and it gets elevated with the butteriness. You add some sour cream, some garlic in there.
Gravy.
It's incredible. Yeah, gravy, like a gravy bowl on top. It's amazing.
Yeah. Exactly.
She didn't say gravy bowl. She said her dad and mashed potatoes. So that you get your dad and mashed potatoes and dry ass mashed potatoes, sit them right there. No gravy.
They're amazing. They're elevated.
Now you're judging.
Michelin quality mashed potatoes.
Now you're disrespecting her dad's mashed potatoes. Listen,
I'm so sorry, Dad. That's
I'm not saying it was.
Come find you, Juju.
I'm not saying it's a bad pick, but mashed potatoes are Will Levis. It would have been there in the second round, Nat. All right. With the second overall pick of the Tomahawk draft, we got about 3 minutes here, Juju. Juju, what is your first pick?
Dun, 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 dun.
Always got to get
this. How it's done, that chicken.
Fried? What kind of chicken? Get specific.
I know specific. You say chicken. Chicken. Use your imagination. Give me the chicken. Baked chicken. I'd say that. Baked chicken.
That's like drafting a whole position. Healthy. Like, I pick wide receiver. That's not. You got to give me some.
With the first overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft. The Chicago Bears have a good quarterback.
Look, that's the Panthers should have selected quarterback.
This is why it's tough to be a GM. Because
we'll take whoever does better after the first year.
It's tough to be a GM because Juju doesn't want to say fried chicken because he knows not everybody eats that. So he's trying to keep it blanketed where it hits every demographic in the version of chicken they want, and he thinks it's going to get them votes. But, okay, I'm going to put you down as baked chicken whether you like it or not. Joe, your first pick. We got 2.5 minutes left of the Tomahawk Thanksgiving draft.
Truthfully, the thing that I look forward to the most for our Thanksgiving is the Pillsbury crescent rolls that my wife always makes. And it's probably a little bit because I don't eat a lot of bread. I'm not like a big carb guy usually, but for the holidays, I always make the exceptions. And I love those because I can dip it in Nat's dad's mashed potatoes and gravy. Mm. I can take that bite. I can slather it with like that creamy Irish butter all over the place. And every single bite of my green bean casserole, my squash, my mashed potatoes, my turkey.
I feel like you're trying to indirectly draft
with a crescent roll with butter. And that's why it is my MVP.
All right. So I feel like you just drafted six players there.
No, I'm only drafting one, but I'm telling you why. All right. It is the best.
It's, I don't give a damn.
No wiggle room to tell me anything else is good.
All right. I'm with you. We got about a minute and 20 seconds. My first overall pick is lasagna. I eat it every Thanksgiving. It is a black staple.
God. That came out of left field.
That's worse than baked chicken.
Carl.
Whoa, wait.
Carl, producer Carl. I'm telling you, in a black household, there is going to be lasagna on Thanksgiving Day, and it is going to slap. Okay, so more cultural differences here on the Tomahawk Show. All right, we're moving quickly, Nat. Second pick.
Okay, I'm taking pumpkin pie. I love pumpkin pie. That's a classic. That's classic Thanksgiving.
Oh, man, that is classic white people Thanksgiving. More cultural differences. This is why I love it, Nat. All right, Juju, your second pick. We got about 40 seconds.
Turkey.
Turkey. I'm surprised
turkey.
They fell down.
I'm taking all the big boys out the board. Y'all want to eat? Come to my house. I got everything.
He got all
these
the meats.
On the carnivore diet. They're having chicken and turkey. That's it. I'm going green bean casserole with a little crispies on top. It's a great Thanksgiving treat because you don't really eat that normally because it's not that great. But it's kind of like turkey in that regards.
I'm with you. I'm going to go sweet potato pie.
Ooh, that's good.
That is nice. The black version of pumpkin pie. That is the equivalent of the Patriots drafting a wide receiver in Nat and the Miami Dolphins drafting a wide receiver in my pick in the second round. All right, last round. We got about 20 seconds, Nat. What do you got?
I'm going mac and cheese.
Oh, what a pick. I can't believe I left that on the board.
Dang it.
I have the best team so far.
You do have a solid team. All right, Juju, what's your pick? Third round, last one.
I was going to take it, but just give me the collard greens, man. Go ahead.
Another good one.
Yeah, we don't have collard greens. No. I know that's a big surprise for you guys. I'm going to go with the squash with honey and butter on top. It's amazing. It's a nice fall treat.
I don't think I've ever had squash in my life.
I don't think I've ever had squash on
It's like potatoes, but sweeter.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
All right, I am going to go with stuffing. Or dressing, depending on what cultural background you have, with gravy. So we'll put it on. We'll see who wins this. That does it for this Thanksgiving special edition episode of The Tomahawk Show. We thank you to the Tomaflock for listening. As always, we'll be back next week, same time, same place. Shout out to the DraftKings Network and Meadowlark Media. Hit us up on socials at Tomahawk Show and get our podcast. Subscribe and rate 5 stars wherever you listen. Until next time, Joe, take us out.
Thanksgiving and Mexico, jog yourself!
I don't know what accent that was.